Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. It is Monday, October 28th. 4 days until Halloween. To always celebrate the time everybody goes out trick-or-treating and has all their done up in their costumes. But Halloween treats came early yesterday for a few events, and the NHRA was out in Las Vegas for the race five of their six race countdown to the championship. NASCAR went through race number seven, and it's chased for the Sprint Cup, and they were in Martinsville along with the Truck Series. Of course, in Saturday's truck race, things got a little out of control for a couple of drivers. Richard Childress drivers, Kevin Harvick and Ty Dillon, got into a little late paint trading, and what happened afterward, Kevin Harvick let loose some comments about why he's leaving RCR and directed some of things towards Ty Dillon, and saying the reason why he's leaving is because these rich kids are coming up, have everything spoon-fed to them, and of course, Ty Dillon, in his defense, said he used to respect Kevin, but not anymore. His little punk wouldn't stay and talk. But you know how things go on the track; things get a little hair-raising. Martinsville, not a good track for Kevin Harvick in the Truck Series, because he did get parked there years ago, getting involved in on-track incidents with other drivers. Matter of fact, he was actually parked for the Cup race the next day. I think I was at that race when that happened. But, you know, short track racing, everything gets a little testy. Points are tight right now, and Johnson and Kenseth battling for the Sprint Cup championship. Kenseth coming into the race down 4 points. After Jimmy Johnson took the lead last weekend at Talladega. So a lot of interesting stuff happening on in that race yesterday. Of course, the next three tracks, you got Texas this coming weekend, mile and a half, one of the cookie cutter tracks, then out to Phoenix, which is a 1 mile, oddly shaped flat track, and then back to the East Coast, hitting Homestead, Miami for the final race of the season. NHRA out in Las Vegas, championships attempted to be locked up. We got some coverage on that. It turned out to watch after the Cup race yesterday, late ESPN, I put on the NHRA eliminations, and there were some good battles going on. And, of course, our guest from a couple weeks ago, Sean Langdon, was trying to wrap up his Top Fuel title. John Force took the lead from Matt Hagen in Maple Grove, so he came to town looking to increase that points lead and or hopefully wrap up a title, and the other divisions as well. Well, let's start off with the NHRA. In the Top Fuel division, the way the points are being held right now, Antron Brown is fighting his way back. Was hoping to gain some ground on Sean Langdon. Langdon came in with a 120-point lead, 80 points per round. When Langdon did come into the event as the number one qualifier, therefore with a 3.76, which is pretty fast. And he did gain some bonus points on that. And his first round opponent was Terry McMillan. Of course, Spencer Massey was fighting for he was the number two man in the top fuel division. He was looking to gain ground on Sean Langdon. And he had to go up against Brittany Force, another past guest of the show. But as it turned out, Brittany wound up beating Spencer Massey, and Antron Brown did gain some ground to pull into second place for a top fuel showdown going into Pomona in a couple of weeks for their last event. Langdon has a 112-point lead over Antron Brown, so they both have to qualify well, get bonus points there, and hopefully they don't face each other early, or if they do, in the eliminations, because the way eliminations work, you get 20 points per round win, so that's a total of 80 points in eliminations. Would that be enough? I don't know. I think Langdon has it to at least get a top qualifying spot, get some bonus points there, and go at least two rounds and seal the deal. Of course, this time he went to three rounds, went to the semifinals up against Clay Milliken, who was looking to win his first ever top fuel event of the season. And he wound up beating Langdon with a 385 to a 4.158, stopping Sean Langdon from clinching the Mellow Yellow Championship Wally, and it led to a final confrontation with Antron Brown. Brown did go on to win the event and seat himself second, but I don't know if he's going to be able to win the Top Fuel Championship in a couple weeks the way Langdon's going, and Langdon should be able to at least clinch that. They were saying that on the telecast that 150-point gap would clinch it, and if Langdon would have won the semifinals and made it to the finals, he would have, and if he beat Antron Brown, he would have won, he would have clinched it. But as it turned out, he wound up getting beat by Milliken in the semifinal round because he smoked the tires, and Milliken was able to put a good ET of 3.85 to get to the finals against Antron Brown. And I'll tell you, that was a good drag race, too, between Clay Milliken and Antron Brown. Brown got out to shoot off the tree, turned a 3.78 with a 324-mile-an-hour run over Clay Milliken's 3.82, which was actually better than the run he had against Sean Langdon. And the defending champ was able to march on down and keep his championship hopes alive and a chance to repeat this year. But as far as the tough run goes, it was Langdon against Terry McMillan, which set up the showdown between him and Brittany Force, who wound up smoking the tires and had to pedal it all the way down. She wound up crossing the line at 11 seconds after a first-round run of 3.82. She probably would have still lost if she could have ran close to that, because Langdon ran at 3.78. And that's how tight things were and how good you had to run, because 3.8s pretty much weren't going to get it. Of course, Milliken in round one had a 3.379, and if he had anything close to that in the final round, it would have been a photo finish. But the track did warm up. They started, I think, when they started eliminations, the track temp was about 90 degrees, and after about the third round, when they were hitting the second round, when they were getting to the semifinals, it was already up to 100 degrees. So, Top Fuel Championship was put off until the final event, which kind of makes it nice going into the final race of the season. The same cannot be said about funny cars. John Force came in. He had a 64-point lead over Matt Hagen and wound up Hagen had to face Alexis DeJoria in round one. And he wound up smoking the tires. DeJoria had a nice run of 4.084 to defeat Hagen. So all John Force had to do was find a way to the final round and had a chance to clinch it by winning the funny car division and claim his 16th driver's championship and 18th owner's championship. But as it turned out, the one he would have to face in the finals, he did it all the way to get there, winning his 16th championship. But as the road shows, John Force, who set a blistering record in qualifying of under 4 seconds, wound up getting the track ET record, bumping daughter Courtney off the number one spot. He was running good pretty much all weekend, and then Sunday's eliminations, he went up against Gary Densham and ran a 4.04 to Densham's 6.3, because Densham had some problems with smoking the tires as well. But Force from number one went into the semifinals against Del Worsham, and Force ran another 4.09 to Worsham's 4.87, and eight-tenths of a second going is a pretty big gap. Usually when you're running a close run like that, you're running pretty much, if you win, it's usually by hundredths and not tenths of a second. But the one that I think John Force had to worry about the most was daughter Courtney, who we had on the show a couple weeks back when we had Brittany in. They happened to be sitting next to each other. And Courtney wound up with the number two qualifying spot. She went on beating Tony Pedregon with a 4.056 to a 4.3. And, of course, after that, she had to take on teammate Robert Height and wound up beating him 4.11 to 5.9. That set up a classic showdown in the semifinals, John Force against Alexis DeJoria, who drives the Patron funny car. I'm looking to get her on the show. She wound up beating Ron Capps, so in a really good drag race. She had a 4.12 to his 4.13. Wound up going up against John Force. Of course, she was hoping maybe to face her teammate and former crew chief Del Worsham, but that wasn't the case because John Force was running stellar up until the race against DeJoria. And Courtney had to go up against, after beating Tony Pedregon and Rob Height, she had to go up against Fast Jack Beckman, and she turned a 4.10 to Beckman's 6.0. He had must have overguessed the setup and smoked the tires a bit. So that's a classic confrontation between father and daughter, both wanting to win the event, and with John wanting to win the championship. And going into the race this time, Courtney Force had beaten her dad a few times already this year, so luck was on her side. And, of course, the race of John Force and Alexis DeJoria was a pedal fest. Both were smoking the tires, and this was John Force's worst run of the day with a 5.86, but DeJoria ran an 8.77. So, it wasn't as close and wasn't as fast, but when he went up against Courtney, they both had their game on, and John wound up with a 4.062 at 310 miles an hour with a reaction time of 0.085. This is how close it was, folks. 0.089 reaction time for Courtney, and she ran a 4.085 for John's 4.062, and she went up at 319 mile an hour. So this was a classic drag race and had a classic finish. Of course, Courtney disappointed that she lost, but also happy that a teammate came home with a trophy, let alone two trophies, the championship trophy for the inaugural Mellow Yellow Series, because last year was Full Throttle, and this year it's Mellow Yellow. They're all Coca-Cola products. Originally it was Powerade, and they keep changing brands every couple of years. So now it's the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, and John Force wins the inaugural there. He's the first one ever to repeat his championship ever since they've installed the countdown setup. Of course, he winning his first championship in the countdown since the countdown in 2010. We've had him on several times that year. You can go back and listen to our old archives from the GarageTalkLive.com website. If not, maybe I'll play some of these old interviews. But it was a good year for John Force racing that year as well, and the year before when Rob Height, who drives for JFR, also won a championship. So a couple years off from winning. Of course, Hagen won it the year in 2011, and Jack Beckman won it last year, so John retakes his place in history as probably the king of drag racing in my book, winning 16 drivers' championships and as an owner has 18. He's probably going to get a few more as an owner, especially with Courtney right on his heels. Of course, a couple years ago it used to be Ashley Force, his older daughter. Not as oldest, because he has another daughter that's married to Rob Height, who is the oldest daughter, but she don't drive. She's the only one that didn't get behind the wheel, but the other three younger sisters have. And, of course, Brittany going for Rookie of the Year this year in the top fuel division. She has a bright future ahead of her. Of course, John Force losing Castrol and Ford after this year as sponsors, which I don't want to see him. I don't want to see John Force in another car other than a Mustang, because he's been with them so darn long and pretty much made history with them. And I'd like to see them come back this year or not. Hey, you know, bring on Toyota, because I know Toyota pour money into it, especially with him winning a championship this year, having all his drivers in the top half in points. And Brittany, you know, up and coming in a new division for her and the team. And we'd like to congratulate John Force on winning his championship. In the Pro Stock division, there was another division where there was a chance for a title to be clinched, but Alan Johnson was bumped off by V. Gaines in the second round. And V. Gaines went all the way to the finals against Shane Gray, with Shane Gray picking up the win. Shane Gray, of course, had to go through Jason Lyne and Kurt Johnson. So that kind of tightened up that division. Mike Edwards wound up losing in the first round. Which bumped him down, and Jade Coughlin now leads the pro stock division. Of course, Erica Enders, who we've been following, is sixth in the points. And after coming off a chance to win it a year or two ago, or last year, she fell a little short, and I guess with new sponsor changes, a new car, learning the Camaro versus the old Cobalt, things got a little different. And in the Pro Stock motorcycle round, Matt Smith clinched his championship after the Uranas got bumped out, and of course Hector Jr. winning the title last year seemed like he could do no wrong, and this year was a new championship with Matt Smith clinching his title. He has over 170 point lead over second place Michael Ray, and that turned out to be a pretty good run. Matt Smith's father, Ron Smith, won the Pro Mod Championship a couple of weeks ago. So that's the first father and son team to win a NHRA championship this year. And it hasn't been for a few years, so well, congratulations to Matt Smith. So I guess before we can congratulate Sean Langdon and Jay Coughlin, in the top fuel in the Pro Stock division, we got to go to the final event of the season. 2 weeks from now in Pomona, they wrap things up, and of course they'll have their banquet the following night, which is weird. Like NASCAR will have the Sprint Cup Series banquet in December. After all said and done, the Nationwide Series and the Truck Series have theirs pretty much right as the season ends, so we'll see what happens this year at the end of the season. So two divisions in the mellow yellow point standings. Pro Funny Car is clinched. Pro Stock Motorcycles clinched. That leaves the Pro Stock Car and Top Fuel Dragster still open with one event to go, and their countdown to the championship. So we'll have more on that as the season draws to a close. Right now, if you want to give us a call, the number to call in is 646-649-1899. Give us your thoughts. IndyCar season's wrapped up. NHRA has a week to go. NASCAR has a few weeks to go. And then it's off until February when things all kick back up again in Speed Week and everything starts. So give us a call. Tell us what you thought about the race yesterday in Martinsville. And we could talk about how things were going. It looked like to be a pretty good race between Matt Kenseth and Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, who's won a lot at Martinsville, but, you know, he was leading three times. There was a lap leader battle going on between Kenseth and Johnson. Johnson led 123 of the laps of the 500, and Kenseth led 202 of the laps. So you figured one of them was going to win it, right? Nope, that wasn't the case. It turned out to be Jeff Gordon, who led two times for 78 laps, wound up outlasting everybody for taking home the win, and things are getting tightened up in the championship there. there were 15 lead changes amongst eight drivers, and there were only 17 cautions for only 17. For a while there, it turned out to be a caution if every couple of laps. There were 17 cautions for 111 laps, with the final caution coming out on lap 417, so we didn't have to go under the green-white checker finish. Turned out to be a pretty good win for Jeff Gordon. Of course, the pole sitter was Denny Hamlin. He wound up getting involved in an accident with Casey Kane, Kenny Schrader, the 41 of Eric Almirola, and Martin Truex Jr. They got together early around lap 183. The 41 being driven in honor of Maurice Petty, who was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. It's the first time since Richard Petty retired that the 43 car was not in the field. So I guess it doesn't matter for points for her Almirola, because he wasn't really in contention. But in honor of Maurice Petty, they put the 41 on the side of the car and entered it, because that was a number Maurice used to drive way back when the Petty dynasty started in the 50s, because between Lee Petty and Maurice Petty, of course, 41, Lee was 42, and Richard was 43, until he retired in 92, but Maurice Petty had retired long since then. And of course, he used to, not only did he drive, he also wound up being crew for Maurice Petty as well. So it was an honor of Maurice that they put him on there. And as far as the race goes, it was Jeff Gordon winning. Matt Kenseth did manage to finish ahead of Jimmy Johnson in the race results. He finished second. Clint Bowyer was third. Brad Keselowski was fourth. Jimmy Johnson was fifth. He was getting a couple little rubbing incidents with Kevin Harvick and Greg Biffle there for a while, trying to fight his way back to the front. Of course, you rub me, I'll rub you. It's short track racing. Nobody spun anybody out or wrecked anybody, but they kind of tore the bumpers off each other. But Harvick wound up finishing sixth. Denny Hamlin was seventh. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was eighth. Ninth was Greg Biffle, and tenth was last week's winner at Talladega, Jamie McMurray. Danica Patrick, believe it or not, finished 17th. Not a bad follow-up from her 12th-place finish at Martinsville in April. She was running in the top 10, but pit changes and pit strategies wound up sending her from the top 10 to the back 20. But she wound up in 17th place, the first car one lap down, and had she had another caution, she might have gotten back on the lead lap. But things were tight at Martinsville, as they always are, and the racing was close. So it's pretty much of how things go. The race took 3 hours and 44 minutes and 21 seconds. The average speed was 70.3 miles an hour, and the margin of victory, 0.605 seconds. So as far as the points go, Matt Kenseth and Jimmy Johnson are tied, with Kenseth getting the points lead due to his 7 wins versus Jimmy Johnson's 5. So the first tiebreaker comes into play. And if you remember, the last time the tiebreaker came into play in a championship was when Tony Stewart wound up tying Carl Edwards for points. And due on the nature of Stewart's 5 wins in the season versus Carl Edwards' 1, that's how Stewart won it. had Stewart won that last race of the season in Miami with Edwards second. Had it been the other way around, it would have been Carl Edwards' championship because he would have had a one-point difference in the race, which would have made a one-point difference in the standings. But right now, Jeff Gordon with his win actually puts him 27 back with three to go. So going into Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead, we'll take a look at that in a little bit and be able to tell you how that's going to play out. Of course, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick were 26 points coming into the race at Martinsville, and right now Kyle Busch didn't have as good a run as he liked. He wound up 15th, and he's now 36 points back. Carl and Kevin Harvick wound up losing one spot. Actually, he stayed the same as Kyle Busch, that lost two spots, going from third to fifth, and Gordon jumping from fifth to third. And then Harvick did lose a point on Gordon on the leader. He's 28 points back. So it's still close to call. Even with three races left, you might consider Kyle Busch still in it. But I still think it's going to be between Matt Kenseth and Jimmy Johnson, with Gordon going to make a run. We'll just have to see how well he does in the next 3 weeks. He's got to hope for some bad luck with Kenseth and Johnson to make up some ground. In the truck series, history was made again with Darrell Wallace Jr. becoming the second African-American driver to win in a major NASCAR series since Wendell Scott did it in 64, I think, in what is now the Nationwide Series. So he wound up getting his first truck series win, and it's good to see a truck series regular actually doing well and getting a win in a truck series race instead of a cup driver, Nationwide driver coming down. Brendan Gaughan wound up in second. Third was Jeff Burton. Fourth, Ben Kennedy. Fifth, Ryan Blaney. Sixth was Denny Hamlin. Herman Caroga was seventh. Eighth was Johnny Sauter. Ninth, Scotty Riggs. And tenth was James Buescher, points leader. Matt Crafton wound up 17th. So it kind of would have tightened the points race up, but Ty Dillon and Kevin Harvick had a little bit of an incident, with Ty Dillon finishing 22nd after qualifying 5th. And Harvick didn't do himself any doing himself much better, wound up finishing 30th. He had more damage to his truck, and he got spun out and then went back after Ty Dillon, because when you have to maintain the low line going in the corners in Martinsville and you come from the outside, if somebody's there, you're going to get spun, and that's pretty much what happened. And then tempers played a role into it, and it didn't help much either way. So Darrell Wallace bringing home his first grand 5 o'clock. You know, that's a cool place to win a race at, because especially your first ever NASCAR win in a major touring series. You go in the Martinsville. The Nationwide Series don't even go there. They've only, I think, ran there once a few years back on a separate event, but they give out that grandfather clock as a trophy, and that is it's not a small little thing. You know, you can't hold that up over your head. You got a screen next to it. But that's, I think the thing stands about 6 foot tall, about maybe a foot and a half wide by a foot deep. That's not a trophy. That's a, that's a trophy that's also a piece of furniture. I'd like to have one of those, but I don't race, so no chance of me running a race at Martinsville and trying to win one. But good for Bubba. He wound up taking home the big prize with his first grandfather clock. This kid is drives for Kyle Busch Motorsports, and he's got a lot of talent. He's one of those ones to watch. So same with Jeb Burton and Chase Elliott, who finished 20th. Not a bad run for him. He's only 17, I think, so he's got a long future ahead of him. So those guys are the future of NASCAR, and they're the ones that will be moving ahead when some of these other guys stay in the truck series. Of course, Ty Dillon moving up next year to the Nationwide Series, and his brother Austin moving up to the Cup Series. The time of the race took 1 hour, 34 minutes, and 47 seconds. The average speed was 66.59 miles an hour. And a margin of victory, 1.67 seconds. The rest of the stats of the event include 10 cautions for 52 laps. Not as bad as 17 for 111 laps, but there were 7 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. Darrell Wallace Jr., the lap leader, he gets the bonus points. He gets all the bonus points. He has max point day right now. So look for him gaining some ground on the championship run. Not close enough to win it, but it is enough to keep him in eighth place. Of course, he can move up to sixth in a hurry because Ryan Blaney and Miguel Peludo were only 1 point ahead of him in sixth and seventh, so he could jump up to that. Eighth place, Johnny Sauter in fifth is definitely catchable. Matt Crafton's points lead is still ahead of number two, James Buescher, by 51 points. Ty Dillon, if he had a better finish, would have been a little closer. He lost one position from second, dropped to third. He is 61 points back. Jeb Burton stays in fourth place. He's 68 points back. And Johnny Sauter, Ryan Blaney, each moved up one to fifth and sixth. Johnny's 82 back, and Ryan Blaney's 92 back. Miguel Peludo dropped two spots to seventh, but he's still 92 back. So it's basically a points tie with Ryan Blaney. And on first tiebreaker, he goes to wins, and that's where Ryan Blaney gets it. He's won this year. Peludo hasn't. And Darrell Wallace now gaining a spot into eighth place. So good run for him on the win. He controlled the field and was able to take home the trophy. Jeff Gordon takes home a grandfather clock, moves to third in the points. Darrell Wallace Jr. takes home a grandfather clock. So now let's turn our attention to Texas Motor Speedway coming up this coming week. Let's see if we can hear from... Actually, before we do that, let's hear from Maurice Petty, who's inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame. This was taken last Tuesday. Of course, we were on the air Monday. And a little interview with Maurice Petty. and a Richard Petty Motorsports announcement. Then we'll do our Texas preview here to see who we're going to pick for winning as soon as the audio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And we're especially delighted to have you here for a very, very special unveiling of a tribute car that's going to be run this weekend in honor of 2014 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee Maurice Petty. Give him a round of applause. Winningest engine builder of all time. That's why we're here today. Of course, joining us here, the driver for RPM Motorsports, Eric Almirola, and inaugural NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee and owner of RPM Motorsports, Richard Petty, and the president of Martinsville Speedway, Clay Campbell, is with us. We have done, we believe this is the 22nd car that NASCAR has facilitated to honor a NASCAR Hall of Famer. We'll have the other three this year. This is not the first one that has been done at Martinsville, because I think Martinsville and Petty Enterprises is synonymous. Petty Enterprises won there 19 times. Maurice was a part of 18 of those wins. So not just is it close to home, but it's a place that was one of the two, along with North Wilkesboro, that they were the most successful. So without further ado, if we could ask Eric and Richard to unveil the car that's going to honor Maurice Petty this weekend. You might notice that there is a little something different to Eric Almirola's car this weekend. It's the 41. For those who are newer to NASCAR, everybody knows the 43 is synonymous with Richard Petty. The 42 was synonymous with 2011 inductee Lee Petty. And Maurice, who we affectionately call Chief, drove the 41, he drove the 42 as well. But the 41 was Chief's primary number when he was a driver as well. Chief, I know you've seen pictures of it, but what's your reaction now getting to see this car unveiled for the first time?
Like I said, I've seen pictures of it, and I thought it was great. It's something that I really appreciate the opportunity to be a part of it.
Well, it looks great. If we could get Eric, Richard, Chief, and Clay to come up, we'll come up on the stage and talk to them, and then we'll give our media a chance to ask some questions, and then we'll have some one-on-ones. But looking good. Hadn't aged a day, have you?
Damn, look, makes me look a lot better, don't it?
Hey, tell me I got a face for radio. So, I mean, you might be the same there. Looking good there, Chief. Looking very good. No, you're good.
No guardrails.
We're going to talk. And we're going to start with you.
Yeah, but they ain't no guardrails.
Back up just a little bit and you'll be good. All right. Yeah. Chief, you guys had success everywhere that you went. But Martinsville, it seemed like that you guys, you know, even dating back to when Lee won his first race there in 1953, you were working on the car back then. What was it about Martinsville that you guys were always so successful?
Had good drivers.
He told me he had good cars and good motor. Who am I going to believe? Richard, I'll never forget one of the first two times we talked about the Hall of Fame when it was in concept and being built. We were in Miami in the back of your hauler, and we were talking about some of the concepts. And the comment that you made is, I'm not so worried about how you may tell the Richard Petty story. you made the comment that you were more interested in making sure that we told the Petty Enterprises story. Petty Enterprises, Dad was there from the start in 1949. You guys were still there. And now, does this put an exclamation point with four members of the Petty Enterprises team now in the NASCAR Hall of Fame in this car?
Yeah, you know, we look at the Petty Enterprises started in 49. And Daddy started it. Me and Chief come along. Dale Emmer came along all at the same time. And we learned as we went from that standpoint. But to look back and look at all the people that's worked for us and made it all happen, it's just really, really something. You know, Chief couldn't do it by himself. I couldn't do it by myself. Dale didn't do it by himself. We done it as a group under Petty Enterprise. So I'm more proud probably of that than I am what I accomplished as an individual, because I didn't do it from an individual standpoint. It took everybody to make it work. And, you know, this is, I guess, the crown and deal of all those years, 60-some years of accumulation of the Petty craft, Petty Enterprises. And, you know, you go back and you look at any Hall of Fame and stuff, this Hall of Fame has probably got the only Hall of Fame in the world that's got the whole team in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you got Daddy, you got Dale, you got me, you got Chief. That is the team. That was the team. So that's something a little bit different, too.
I would say so. Hadn't thought of it that way. Eric, when we were talking this weekend, we talked about you did something the 43 has never done by starting and leading the field to the green flag at Talladega. Your reaction to driving the 41 car in honor of Chief and all that he accomplished, more than 200 wins as an engine builder, 7 championships, part of 10 championships, your reaction as you look at this and what's ahead of you this weekend?
Well, it's really an honor. You know, you look at the race teams today, and I look at these race teams, and all these race teams, their big focus is taking control of their own destiny. They build their own cars, they build their own parts, they build their own engines. Well, it started right here with these guys. They were the first ones to take control of their own destiny. They had the best driver, the best crew chief, the best engine builder, and they won a lot of races because of it. So it really is an honor to drive this 41 and the tribute for Maurice. And it's going to be really special to do it at Martinsville, a place they've won so many times. I'm curious, why do they have 19 and you only have 18? But tell me.
John Andretti won one later on.
Well,
Enterprise.
You still won 18 races. We'll give you credit for them, but no, it's really special. It's gonna be a neat deal, and the number change is that much more special to honor him because that was his number, I guess, for 26 or 27 Cup races. So that's gonna be pretty cool.
Well, and one of the things that Richard always pointed out is why Maurice built pretty much all of his winning engines. He said he built winning engines for a lot of other folks, like Pete Hamilton and Jim Pascal and Buddy Baker and people like that. So it wasn't just engines that Richard drove. And for 7 different manufacturers when the engine blocks weren't all the same, which is fantastic. Clay, I mean, very logical to honor anybody with the Petty name, but especially Maurice Petty at Martinsville. You know, those guys probably could open a clock factory based on what you guys have given them. But talk about from your perspective. You know, you're like me. You kind of grew up watching these guys around there and, you know, working with your granddad. Talk about your memories of the Petty family, Chief, Richard Lee, and all that growing up, and what this means to have Chief honored there at Martinsville.
Yeah, well, first off, it's an honor and certainly a privilege to have this debut car at Martinsville this weekend. I think it speaks volumes for what the Petty family has done with NASCAR to change the number from 43 to 41. I think that's pretty special. You know, and the Petty name is synonymous with Martinsville. 19 wins, like you said before, and 18 of them, 15 with this guy here, 3 of them with Lee, but the power plant was built by this guy here, and all of them. It speaks volumes. And to have all of them in the Hall of Fame, Lee, Richard, Maurice, Dale, worked so close together to really bring the sport to where it is. But, you know, my memories go way back. I was at the Speedway when I was a kid. And, you know, back in the day, these guys used to drive everywhere they went. They didn't fly. So I think numerous trips to Pocono. You'd stop by and see us. And I remember one summer when they tested for a manufacturer for about a week, and be down there and having fun with Maurice and Richard and Dale and the group. It was pretty special. So I think it's very fitting that this tribute car and what Maurice has done for Petty Enterprises over the years, it's appropriate to be doing it at Martinsville this weekend.
Yeah, I think so, too. We've got a microphone out in the audience. If any of the members of the media would like to ask a question to Maurice, Clay, Richard, Eric about this weekend's race and honoring Maurice, does any of the members of the media have a question? Just throw up your hand.
He doesn't look like he's part of the media.
Yeah.
But.
We'll catch you later. This may be the first time that I've seen our media speechless and the first time that they hadn't gotten a tip on something.
Yep.
Jeff, I'm sorry. I didn't see over here. Got one over here and then back here.
Chief, how come you didn't race more? 26 starts? I mean, did you want to do more? Did you put that only that number for a reason?
Well, yeah, I could have raced more, but it was costing more to run me, and we were going broke pretty fast, so something had to be done, and I said, heck, I'll just build the engine for it. But what y'all don't know, Eric, we built engines for him when he was running the late model stock, so he's been around a little bit, too.
Yeah, talk about that tie-in. I just learned about that you had with his kids.
So when I moved to North Carolina, I ran a late model stock for Joe Gibbs Racing, and we had all of our engines. They told me to – I pretty much ran our late model program with one other guy, and we went and researched who was the best late model engine stock builder, and all the people that I talked to said the Petties. So I went up and met with them, Mark and Timmy and Richie, and they built our late model engines for 2 years while we went late model stock racing and won a bunch of races with them. So I got a little history with them before I ever came to Richard Petty Motorsports.
Maybe you can get him to tweak on this one for this weekend. Got one over here.
Thank you, Winston. Doug Rice, PRN. This is for Richard and for Chief. Today's world's different. We don't have people like Maurice Petty anymore. Engines are built by committee and by, for lack of a better word, per factories. What's your thoughts on that? The fact that there are no more Maurice Petties, there's no one specific engine builder that everybody points at anymore.
Well, really, you look back, like you said, talking history. This was a one-man show. He poured and relieved all the engines. He'd done all the valve work, balanced the engine. He done everything by hand himself. He had three or four guys to help him. But he didn't have computers, he didn't have CNC machines, didn't even have a dyno for, 69 or 70. And we done 100 races with him just in his mind saying, this is going to be better, this is going to work. Some of it didn't work, but most of it worked. And so it was a single operation deal where the chief motor man was the motor man. He built the motor, he put it together, he fit the bearings. He done all of that kind of stuff. And, now when we get an engine, all the heads and stuff exactly the same on one engine or the other because they put it on the CNC machine. Or the blocks are the same or the pistons are the same. So it's, like you say, an engine builder now, it's more by committee. You got to be a guy at the top that says, okay, this is what we're going to do. But then he sends it out with the computers and all the engineers, and they come back with something and say, okay, this will work. So he's one of the last of the builders that built the engines themselves, where Leonard Wood used to build them from the ground up, Peter Johnson built them from the ground up, Bud Moore built them from the ground up, Chief built them from the ground up. And then time took care of it, and it just got to be so much more technical with all the machinery and stuff that the individual is not as important now as what it was when Chief and them done the engine.
And Chief?
There you have a little bit of the press conference with Maurice Petty and Richard Petty, hosted by Winston Kelly. and talk about how Maurice and used to build all the engines, of course, drove in 26 cup races. Not a lengthy driving career, but long enough, I guess. And either way, a lot of wins under that Grit Petty Enterprises there. And talking about how they used to have the engine builders and build them from the ground up versus today's motors, which are completely engineered and blueprinted and done with CNC machinery and computers and, you know, down to precise, exact specs all the way across the board, where back in the day, people used to do it on their own intuition, but... Anyway, of course, that was Maurice Petty getting inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame. They used the number on his car, the 41, for Eric Almirola's past yesterday at Martinsville. And he was able to, talk about that. Now we're going to Texas. And now we're going from a track that has an average speed of 70 miles an hour in the race to a track that has speeds of 170 miles an hour average throughout the race. Maybe a little slower, better on cautions, but speeds at Texas Motor Speedway are usually, they qualify in the 190, so we're not talking about any slouches here. So I'm saying, who do I think is going to win this week? It's time for picks. If you want to give me a call, the number is 646-649-1899. Be happy to take down your pick, put it on our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Twitter at Garage Talk Live, or you can follow me. My Twitter handle is at GTLVince. But who do I think is going to have a good shot at it this weekend? Well, judging from what I see from past performances, I think I'm going to have to go with somebody that's run good here this year as opposed to somebody that's run good. I looked at the past race, which was a night race, so maybe I should look at that, or the chase race last year. Of course, you can't rule anybody out, so... Jeff Gordon's on a roll winning yesterday. Johnson, Kenseth, they run pretty good there, but I picked Johnson last week to win yesterday, and he disappointed me. So I guess I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go with the 18 car. So I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. How's that sound? So all you Kyle Busch fans out there, if you agree with me, fine. If not, well, then, you know. So I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We hope to have some guests for you next week. We're looking at getting an interview lined up with Sam Hornish, who will be back in action this weekend at Texas, looking to reclaim the points lead. So we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully he can get that back, and that gives him two more races to clinch his first NASCAR championship, which will put a nice feather in his hat. He's got two IndyCar championships, so having a Nationwide Series championship would be pretty nice too. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night and good racing.